Woody's Roundup, right here every day. Woody's Roundup, come on, it's time to play. There's Jessie the Odlin' Cowgirl.
Look it, that's me!
Bullseye, he's Woody's horse.
He's a smart one.
Pete the old prospector, and Woody the man himself. Of course, it's time for Woody's Roundup.
Welcome to the Disney Magic Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Megan.
And we like to talk about Disney things.
We do.
Specifically this week, we're going to be talking about Toy Story 2, yep. Which is the first sequel
to Toy Story
that Pixar made.
Oh.
The first toy that Pixar made.
I was like, where are you going?
Also, it's the first sequel that Tom Hanks and Tim Allen have ever been in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, they eventually, like, because Tom Hanks then had the Da Vinci Code movies.
Mm. And I totally forgot he was in those.
Tim Allen had the Santa Claus movies.
Yeah.
So they've been in, you know, multiple movies since then.
Yeah.
It was the first time both of them had sequels. Yes.
Interesting.
Toy Story 2 was released November 24th, 1999.
I had totally forgotten it came out this early.
Yeah?
Honest to God. I thought, like, other things came first for some reason. I don't know why.
No, I either.
Especially, like, watching the movie, I was like, this looks really good. So it didn't
it does,
help
yeah.
that at all, because I was like, this could have been made 5 years ago. Nope.
Well, Toy Story 2, it beat out, because it had the highest grossing, I think, weekend of all time, and it beat out Pokemon, the first movie, which had held the title for 2 weeks. Because
oh,
it came out 2 weeks before Toy Story
I
did.
Love that movie. You know, I think this is older than it is because I never saw this movie in theaters.
Okay.
I've only seen it. I'd only seen it once before this on TV because I don't know, honestly. Probably because I went to see Pokemon the first movie like 3 times in theaters. I was in my Pokemon phase, like hardcore, right around then.
Around November 24th, 1999.
Yeah, so I probably just completely ignored it in favor of Pokemon things. Also, I believe that's the year we went to see NSYNC in concert. So I was busy.
This movie, I remember seeing this movie in theaters. I also remember, like, the teaser trailer mm-hmm. was literally just the aliens walked out, and they went, ooh.
Oh, I do remember
and, like,
that.
A little claw. There was the claw, and it dropped down Toy Story, and they go, ooh. And then drops down a 2, and they go, 2. And that was it, Toy Story 2, teaser trailer.
Yep.
But a lot of the ideas that they used in this movie were Toy Story ideas that didn't get made.
Yeah.
Things like the video game at the beginning, a yard sale, Woody's nightmare thing where he falls in the card pile.
That thing was creepy.
Were all ideas from earlier. The idea of a toy collector was in the very early pitch, like when it was pitched as a half-hour special.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of that. So a lot of that's picked from here. There are also a lot of disagreements back behind the scenes about making this movie because this was right around the time direct-to-DVD sequels were really big,
mm-hmm.
especially with the Aladdin ones.
Yeah.
And so Toy Story is a big success. They were going to do that with Toy Story as well. And so Pixar wanted to kind of do that themselves and not have the Disney
right.
group make that. But Disney owned the rights to the characters. That was part of the deal and the agreement. Pixar was making these movies for Disney, and Disney would own all the rights. And so Pixar was making this direct DVD sequel, but Pixar movies are more expensive just because they are, and so...
Yeah.
First of all, the script that they turned in was much better than expected, and also they would need the theatrical release to help be able to justify it financially.
Justify the cost.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, Toy Story 2 got upgraded from a direct-to-DVD to a theatrical release. However, Pixar had a deal for a five-picture deal with Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not clear if they had a five-picture deal or a five-original-pictures deal. And Pixar felt they had a five-picture deal, and Disney felt they had a five-original-pictures deal, so Toy Story 2 didn't count as one of those original pictures. So all that had to be worked out and sorted out and fixed, and that's part of the reason that we had no other Pixar movies sequels until 2010.
Yeah.
So,
until Eisner left, mm-hmm. basically, was the problem.
After Eisner left and after Steve Jobs left.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
So, yeah. And I mean, you know, in one sense, that's all rough and stuff, but, you know, also, I think one of the things I did the best was make all original movies for so long.
It's true.
It's consistently churning out original ideas. I'm like, you know?
Well, especially at the time, sequels made in the animation industry, and even today, sequels made in the animation industry are not exactly the most stellar of films.
Yeah.
So, but especially at the time, with the giant and terribleness that is the Disney sequels, I think they really dodged a bullet there. Mm-hmm. And I think that probably did help them to have that sort of original feature only enforcement.
Yeah.
We'll see how good the rest of the sequels are. I mean, like, they've done two other sequels.
Then three other. Two sequels and a prequel, because Monsters University.
Oh, right. Okay. So. It's like two out of. Well, three out of four ain't bad. Mm-hmm. the four, but they're also.
If you haven't seen Cars 2, might be amazing.
I don't believe you. as much as Cars 2 is a punchline for so many Pixar jokes, I don't believe you.
You haven't seen Cars 2 yet, right?
No, I haven't. All
right, yeah, we'll see Cars 2.
But they've also signed on for, what, two more sequels now?
At least.
Yeah.
And so I think three, because they're doing a Toy Story 4, Incredibles 2, and Finding Dory.
Oh, yeah. So, I kind of forgot about Finding Dory. Because that was announced so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, you're making a movie.
Yeah, we'll see. But also, Toy Story 2, because of all that, had to be made insanely quickly.
Yeah.
There's also a story that's been passed around, and the validity of it has been debated, but, like, the story that's been passed around about one night they were working on Toy Story 2, and somebody punched in the wrong code, and it just started deleting itself.
That's, like, my mom's worst nightmare. Like, my mom, bless her heart, is, you know, not the most tech-savvy of people. If she knows how to do something, she'll get it done, but she will not do anything she doesn't know how to do mm-hmm. because she's terrified that she'll delete everything. So I have to remember never to tell my mom that story.
Because it's possible.
Yeah, apparently. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's really possible.
It's like,
I don't know what you'd have to do, to be honest.
Whatever system they had apparently a code that was just like, you know, the get rid of everything code.
They were evil geniuses. You program their own self-destruct button, as they were showing me.
But they, and it was that on top of, it turns out that their backups had not been good for like the past month.
Ooh, gotta check that.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
And so.
That's scary.
And so just like, yeah, just chunks and chunks of Toy Story 2 are gone. But apparently, one of the people working on it was a new mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so she needed to work on the movie, but also wanted to, you know, be at home with her children and stuff.
Yeah.
And so she had been taking Toy Story 2 at home to work on it. So she had a copy of Toy Story 2 at home.
Thank God for
so that little kid.
People who make good backups. Oh, God.
That little kid saved Toy Story 2.
Good job, child. A+.
So.
Weren't old enough to, like, do anything other than poop and cry, but you saved
a movie. But you saved Toy Story 2. Which, also, by the way, is technically the highest rated movie on Rotten Tomatoes of all time.
Toy Story 2?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Because it's at a 100 rating, and it's the one at 100 rating with the most reviews.
Oh.
So.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, of all time.
I would never have guessed that, honestly. Yeah. Maybe Toy Story, but not Toy Story 2.
Toy Story is also a 100 rating on Rotten Tomatoes. But
not as many reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So,
huh.
Yeah.
I learned something new today.
There you go. But anyway, jump into the movie.
Yep.
It starts off with Buzz Lightyear flying through space.
Yep. This is the video game scene where Rex is playing the Buzz Lightyear game.
I love how, like, detailed and accurate, the Buzz Lightyear mythology is.
Yeah,
like, he's in the Gamma Quadrant, which he just said in that random speech on the box. And, like, it all still fits in with, like, this TV show that they made.
Yeah. Well, my favorite thing about the incorporation of the Buzz Lightyear mythology into this is just all of the excuses to make stupid science fiction references. There are so many Star Wars jokes in this movie.
Yeah.
There's the 2001 A Space Odyssey reference.
When he's jumping over the things, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Darth Vader breathing.
They use a blaster noise at some point from Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's delightful. I like all of those things. Yes. And everything in the scene is shaped like Z's.
Yes.
Zerg's Fortress.
Because it's going to Zerg's Fortress.
It's so silly.
And so also he's like flying through like a canyon ravine kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's the Bug's Life canyon.
Oh, is it?
And it was just cute. Shaped like it. So, yeah. Like, I assume that's part of the thing, like, they had that
they
canyon
had the information.
Rendered.
Might
and
as
they,
well. Yeah.
You know, the movie's made in, like, 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the floating rocks were just a computer error. They're supposed to be sitting down there, rocks. But the computer error, so the rocks are floating in the... But it looked cool and spacey, so
it's
we kept
true.
It.
It's true. That's a handy thing about sci-fi things. If something looks wrong, space, you know, aliens.
Mm-hmm. Buzz in the game is also wearing the belt, but comes back later in the movie.
Yeah, the utility belt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They don't ever actually explain what the utility is.
it's the anti-gravity.
He's got the anti-gravity.
Because he uses it in the
but
video game,
it?
And then I think it's just an anti-gravity belt.
Wah-wah.
It's
not really a utility.
It's
a singular utility. I don't know if that counts.
It's... The utility is kids have to buy this new thing.
Yes.
Because they have to have the whole thing for Buzz Lightyear.
That is useful.
So.
Rex is playing. I love that Rex can't jump and shoot at the same time because his arms don't reach. It's precious.
Yes. He's also playing, he's playing a Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
But it's clearly a Super Nintendo sitting on his, on
yeah.
the TV. And that's a Super Nintendo controller.
It is a Super Nintendo controller.
Good job.
Yeah. But that's way too good looking a game to be on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, that can't
Nintendo.
Be on the Super Nintendo.
That's ridiculous. Also, we'd already had the N64 by then.
Yeah.
When did the PS1 was out? When did PS2
like 90...
come out?
2002, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, so it wouldn't have been a PS2, but it could have been a PS1.
Or at least an N64. But then he would have had even more troubles with trying to do anything on a N64 controller with two tiny arms. So probably a lot easier to animate a...
The best
Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo game of all time,
oh, okay.
graphics-wise.
It was really nice.
It was.
I would like a copy, please.
And so they're trying to find Woody's hat.
Yeah.
Because Woody's going to cowboy camp.
Cowboy camp.
And they can't find it. They ask the lawn gnome where it is. So
yeah.
I guess lawn gnomes are technically toys.
I suppose.
Because they're sentient.
Does that mean, anything human-shaped around your house, or...
I mean, no, that really quickly gets into, what's sentient and not sentient.
Yeah.
Because,
there's, weird stuff that doesn't have a face, too, that's sentient, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, Ham is not human-shaped, he's pig-shaped, but he's clearly sentient.
Yeah.
And so, and Andy has, a Mickey Mouse wall clock.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's Mickey Mouse. Is that, sentient Mickey Mouse on the wall? Oh.
It's a mystery.
It's the same mystery that Beauty and the Beast has.
Oh, Beauty and the Beast. It's confusing sentience.
What counts as human?
I don't know.
It just works when it works.
Molly finally has her own room, which is good.
That's
she was
good.
Two in the last movie and still a room with her brother. It's really? Okay.
So.
I guess when it moved, she got her own room. Although,
yes.
Andy's room looks exactly the same.
Yes, it does. It's, one of those, suburb model houses, I guess.
Yeah, where everything looks pretty much the same, except for you add another room.
Yeah.
We also see the Al's Torbine commercial
mm-hmm.
in this scene.
Which it will come back later.
Yes, the chicken
Ooh.
Man.
Also, Andy's mom walks in here. And her hair is, 1,000 times better.
So much better. All the people look way better.
Holy
way
cow.
Better.
This is not...
Especially poor Molly. Molly looks so much better now. Oh, Molly
This is not just, a mere 4 years of animation advancement. This is insane amount of animation advancement from Toy Story 1 to 2.
Well, just, think about the, general technology advancement that happened in that time period was really substantial. So it doesn't... particularly surprised me, but it is a really marked difference
it is.
In animation quality.
Holy cow.
The jump between Toy Story 1 and Toy Story 2 is huge, and the jump between Toy Story 2 and Toy Story 3, I would say, is massive. It's pretty substantial, but it's not nearly as big.
Yeah.
That's
part of how, just general computer graphics work.
Yeah. Yeah.
The better it is, the less you notice.
That's true. We get reintroduced to the dog, who now has a name. His name is Buster. He's very cute. I like that they got a dachshund,
mm-hmm.
because Slink is also a dog, which is adorable.
I remember this watching it the first time, I like that they didn't have to deal with another terrifying dog for the whole movie. Because I thought that's what was going to happen.
Well, yeah, that's what they insinuated.
Yeah, I mean, they did that on purpose. But like,
no, it's nice that they don't have to fight with the dog. Because he's so cute.
He is.
He's
so cute. And we did that last time.
Yep.
So, Andy's getting ready to go to cowboy camp. He has 5 minutes, and so he starts playing with his toys.
And he rips Woody's arm.
Yes. And so Andy's mom puts him up on the shelf.
Well, it's weird because she's like, maybe we can fix him on the way there. And I'm like, aren't you driving? Can this 8-year-old boy sew? That seems unusual.
Well, not to ruin the ending of the movie, but clearly he can.
Clearly he can. Yeah, which is weird. But, well, I mean, not that weird. But
I mean,
like,
I could sew at 8.
Yeah.
As a boy.
I know, but I don't know how standard that is, Joel.
Well, I was also, like, I knew how to sew because I was in Scouts and I sewed patches on it. I was part of my thing, I sewed patches on. And he clearly went to some sort of camp.
I cannot tell you how many Boy Scout patches I sewed on for my friends as a child, though.
I don't know.
You were clearly a mild misnomer there. But it's really weird because she's like, we can fix him in the car. And he's like, no. And I'm like, what? if he can fix him, I'm not really sure why he's not trying.
I mean, I don't know if his mom, like, really took a good look at, like, let's see what's wrong with Woody.
Mm-hmm.
Or if she's like, he's broken. Well, maybe we can fix him. Don't cry, child.
Whatevs, it's fine.
So, but she puts him up on the shelf. And so he meets Wheezy up on the shelf.
Wheezy's a little squeaky penguin.
Yes. And Wheezy, apparently, he had... This is okay. This is the most terrifying part of this whole movie.
Yep.
Because Wheezy, his squeaker broke, and apparently his mom told Andy that she was going to take him to get fixed and just put him up on the shelf.
Yep.
Which is, like, completely out of character of anything else this loving mother does for this child.
Yeah.
But just takes his toy and, like, we'll fix this.
Although, we don't know how long ago this was. I mean, he's really dusty. And
apparently it was months. Woody says, I thought mom took you to get fixed months ago.
Yeah. But, like, have you ever been around a child with a toy that makes excessive amounts of noise? She might just have been done with the squeaky toy.
He did squeak literally every time he bounced at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm. I think he was too loud.
Oh, man. Heather has a niece.
Uh-huh.
And the niece got shoes, and the shoes, instead of lighting up, like awesome shoes would do, squeak.
What? Why would you do that to yourself?
I think they hate the parents.
Oh, they must.
Just like, and she loves them, because of course she loves them, because she's 2, and her shoes make noise.
Yeah.
And she runs around the house, and they squeak, 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 squeak. Everywhere she goes. And Morgan, let's take your shoes away. Just it's barefoot time. Please let it be barefoot time.
Why not light up shoes? Light up shoes are amazing. I had light up shoes.
Her brother has light up shoes, and they're wonderful.
They don't make any noise at all.
You know what? I fully believe that story. That makes so much sense.
Yeah, she just got tired of it. Especially with Molly around. She's so little, she'd just probably carry him around and make noise all day.
You know what? That's a perfect... I take back every complaint I thought about you, Andy's mom. That is totally reasonable. You just hide that squeaking toy.
Yep. I noticed on the shelf that I believe there is a copy of a Calvin and Hobbes book up there, which is really cute.
Mm-hmm.
So Woody has this weird trippy dream.
Yes.
That Andy has come back from cowboy camp and realized that he is broken and then turns into a robot, apparently, because he talks like this for the rest of the thing. and that he's thrown away.
He also falls into, like, because the toys were playing cards.
Yeah.
But they only had Ace of Spades.
Yeah, so they had.
Because in fortune telling, Ace of Spades means death.
Oh.
So.
I didn't catch that reference.
I'm assuming that's the reference.
I thought that Andy had one of those terrible, like, trick decks of cards the kids get sometimes.
Pick a card, any card, it's and it's all the same card.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
No, that's a much scarier metaphor. I'm like, it's a trick deck, and you're like, death. Like, oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I was thought what it was. So, Andy, they're having a yard sale.
Yeah.
And Andy's mom just kind of, like, walks in and starts taking Andy's things.
My guess is that they had the yard sale while Andy wasn't there, so she could get rid of the toys she didn't like.
Which amount to, like, the teething ring that was clearly Molly's just up on that shelf. The squeaky toy she didn't want. And one roller skate.
Was it a roller skate? I thought it was a car.
Oh, I think it was a roller skate.
It looked like one of those, like, fasten-on roller skates, but those are so old school.
Yeah, well, Woody's...
Oh, and a puzzle. There's a puzzle.
Woody clearly came from, like, the 50s.
That's true. That's true.
So maybe this roller skate also came from, like, the 50s. So, oh, but so here's the thing. So Wheezy was, like, up on the shelf, clearly wanted to get down. He called for help, but he couldn't because his squeaker wasn't working.
Yeah.
I'm like, can't he just fall off of that shelf?
Yeah.
Like, these toys fall from pretty incredible heights.
He's like on a fairly frequent toy. Basis. He wouldn't get hurt. It's not like he's like a porcelain thing or...
Because, like, Woody needs to get down on the shelf, so he just kind of, like...
Falls.
Yeah. So...
Graceful, but falls. yeah, so Wheezy's taken down to the yard sale, and Woody goes to save him.
Yes. And so he calls Buster.
But he doesn't tell what the other toys are.
He doesn't tell anybody else.
No.
And maybe if, like...
And I think he's committing toy suicide by selling himself for 50 cents, which is really weird.
Well, like, if he had stopped for, like, one hot second, maybe they could have, like, mounted a rescue mission that involved toys with two arms.
Yeah, that might have been good.
But he doesn't, and they don't.
Oh, it is worth mentioning that his ripped arm is, like, totally out of commission.
Yes.
Yeah, which is a little disturbing to me. I don't know, it's just a little unsettling.
Yeah, he no longer has brain function to that arm.
Yeah, how does that work? What needs to be connected for that to work? Because, like, the toys at Sid's house all worked, and some of them didn't have heads or anything.
Yeah.
Some of them were legs with cranes. Like, walked around all weird. So...
I don't know, what the... Maybe if he, like, really tried, he could have gotten that arm to work.
I don't know. He seems to pretty much just flop it about as best you can. His shoulder movements. I don't know. It's very strange.
I mean, whatever, like...
More questions of sentience. I don't know.
Whatever his, like, core being, like, whatever it is in his body, like, I guess his voice box is somewhere inside the body or...
Yeah.
In his head, like, wherever the essence of the toy lives.
Yeah.
So every toy, I guess, needs an essence of thing.
Ooh. This is getting to Velveteen Rabbit levels of weird.
Yes, it is.
Oh, Velveteen Rabbit.
So, Al finds Woody at the...
Oh, I thought you said owl, and I was like...
No, there's no owl
from Winnie the Pooh? I'm very confused. Okay, Al.
Al's toy barn.
Al's toy barn.
And apparently a lot of Al's mannerisms were based off of John Lasseter.
I can totally see that.
Because John Lasseter's, you know, who'd have to bring his kids into work, and his kids want to play with, like, all his toy collection. And the toys are basically all technique, you know, antiques.
Yeah.
And so he did not want his kids to play with these toys.
And yeah, that's it's an interesting villain. Like, there's more than one villain in this movie, but he's definitely painted as a villain.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I feel like, at the very least, like, a lot of people watching this movie are probably toy collectors of some sort. So it's interesting that he's painted in a bad light. I think part of it is just that he's definitely doing it for profit, which is seen as kind of a bad thing, I guess. But, like, I don't know.
Well, it's the
only really bad thing he does is he's, like, rude to people, which is bad, but whatever.
He also steals Woody.
He steals Woody, yeah.
That's bad.
That is bad. But, like, I don't know, it seems odd to make a collector the bad guy.
I mean, it's, you know, it's a thing where they can totally, like, I can see both sides of the story.
Yeah,
because, like, I've been to toy museums, and they're really cool.
They are really cool.
And, like, I think, you know, I think, like, a toy museum's important for, like, you know, people to go and see, like, Howdy Doody dolls, because it's, you know, important cultural, you know, thing.
Also, it's a really interesting, like, line to draw between art and not art, because, you know, like, somebody has to sculpt those sorts of things, and, like, what exactly is art? Can it be mass-produced? Those sorts of questions that are raised by toy museums I think are really interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just seems weird, because I'm sure that, like, 90% of Pixar has some sort of toy collection.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, it was a video around Toy Story 3, and it was just John Lasseter's, like, one of those, like, little Disney promotional things.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, play in with his, you know, the new toys for Toy Story 3,
mm-hmm.
and talking about, like, how just you know, basically toy making technology had advanced to the point where, like, they could make the Buzz toy do something that they couldn't make him do back in 1995.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Like, it's even closer to, you know, what he does in the movie now. And John Lasseter's, you know, stupid in love with toys and getting all the buzz of himself and playing with them. And there's one point he's like, you know, and if I were you, I would get two, and one to keep in the box and one to play with. And there's some level of like, yeah, get two, because that's how you get money, is can't you get two toys? And but at the same time, like, that, you know, totally spits in the face of, like, your message of Toy Story 2.
Yeah, which is weird.
I mean, and I don't know, and I do also have, like, toys that I'm like, that toy is for display only, as it stands there stationary on its stand.
Well, I mean, some toys are more fun to mess with than others, too. Like, I have a figure collection, and I'm like, you can't really do anything with them. They don't really move. They're just cool looking, so, like,
So, it's interesting. But he does steal Woody, which is wrong.
Yeah, sorry.
So we can see him as a definite bad guy.
Yes, yes.
Because he steals Woody, and that's wrong.
Yeah. But Buzz tries to go after him. Tries to go after his car. And he totally fails.
Yes.
And, he sees his license plate.
Yeah,
he's trying to figure out his license plate.
He figures out the license plate is Al's Toy Barn.
Yeah, it's not a very good license plate, really.
What?
Well, it's like, it's got the Toy Barn on there, but not really the Al's. He's got a L's.
Yeah, he did a L-Z, which could have been A-L, and it could have been Al Toy Barn.
Yeah, wouldn't that be better? I guess it had to be something they had to figure out.
I mean, it did, like I, knowing it was Al's Toy Barn, I could totally see, like, oh, that's a little Toy Barn.
Sometimes I run into those cars on the road, though, and I want to, like, stop their car and be like, hey, what does your license plate mean? I don't understand.
You're looking at the car. I know that's...
You're, like, stuck in a light, and you're like, try and read it out to yourself.
I'm generally like, I know that's not a standard issue license. Like,
you could tell, but it's a mystery.
And so he's figuring out, and they figure it out that it's Al. Mm-hmm. And they look for the commercial from before.
Yeah.
And the commercial has a map on it showing where Al's Toy Barn is.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that map shows that they live in California.
Oh.
Which makes total sense because they were getting a nonstop flight to Japan.
Yeah.
And I don't know where else you could do that.
Oh, I don't know.
In America, they were definitely living on that side of the country.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was an intentional... thing, but that totally worked for them.
They probably didn't even think about it. They're in California, so like, yeah, in California.
they all live in California.
So we get the first scene with the other toys, with Bullseye and Jesse.
Jesse and Bullseye in the prospector.
Stinky Pete.
Yes.
Stinky Pete.
And Woody learns that he's was a sensation.
It's interesting to me. Like, I'm curious what the memory life like is like on a toy, because like, clearly he was originally bought when the show was big. You can't find these things, and she says his Andy's mom specifically mentions that he's kind of like a family heirloom sort of toy. So like, at some point he must have known, because some kid was really into Woody and got his toy, and I don't.
I mean, he also might have been like. You know, the Stinky Pete said that he was, like, on a dime store shelf.
That's true.
And so, like, he could have just been the cheap toy to buy a kid.
I don't think he would have been saved for that long, if that was the idea. Yeah.
Kids latch onto weird things.
That's true. That's true. I don't know. Seems a little strange that he wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just curious if it's, like, a memory thing, like, he just totally doesn't remember, or if it's a...
Well, he doesn't indicate any life before Andy, even though he clearly has. It's a family heirloom, and you know, they've talked about, this toy, you know, she says at the beginning, we've had, you know, he's an old toy.
Yeah.
So, you know, and...
It's just a little mysterious and kind of weird.
Well, he's also, you know, ever since, I'm going to spoil Toy Story 3 real quick. Cover your ears, like, skip, you know, 2 minutes forward. Like, after Toy Story 3, he never mentioned Andy again. Like, he just talked about Bonnie.
Yeah, it's true.
So.
I wonder if toys brain lines on
the I don't know. But, like,
he but clearly Jesse did. Remembers Emily.
She does.
Yeah.
And 3 says, like, oh, it's like Emily all over again.
Yeah.
I don't know. Shoot that theory right down.
I don't know. Maybe Woody's just dumb. He's just stupid.
Well, Woody clearly doesn't have the Buzz problem where Buzz, like, thought he was Buzz.
Right.
Woody's never thought he was Woody because he doesn't know his Roundup gang.
At some point, he had to have been sold. And they expect him to know them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, maybe Woody's just been dropping his head one too many times.
Maybe
so.
Maybe they shouldn't fall off shelves.
Maybe they shouldn't fall off shelves.
Maybe that's not something that... Alright, but it's clearly it's based on, like, Howdy Doody.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And the merchandise is also based a lot on Davy Crockett and how monumental the merchandising of Davy Crockett was by Disney.
We totally have... from when my mother was young, we have a Davy Crockett record and the raccoon hat.
Yeah.
We totally have one of those. It's, like, falling apart because my mom wore it to death when she was a kid, and then my brother wore it to death when he was a kid. But, we totally had that merchandise.
No, Dad definitely had a in, like, the box of Dad's toys.
Yeah.
You know, there was totally, like, a genuine Davy Crockett Walt Disney hat.
Mm-hmm.
I love
that theme song.
Yeah. And so,
He killed him a bar.
He killed him a bar. He
killed him a bar. As a child, I thought they literally meant, like, a bar, like, the establishment.
Where you drink.
Bar. Yeah. I was very confused. Especially because that's not how, like, Southern people speak.
And so apparently, so they have this scene where Woody's walking around looking at all the merchandise.
I love that scene.
And so apparently so cool. this was a result of them, like, you know, having the mock-ups of these merchandise toys and just, like, showing them to Tom Hanks and recording his reactions and animating
cute.
To that.
Yeah, no, I really like this scene. It's cool to see all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is really, like, timeline appropriate. Everything looks like a 50s, early 60s toy.
Yeah.
Which is pretty neat.
And so Woody learns that basically the plan is to sell these 4 as a set to a museum in Japan. I'm really wondering why Woody, the main character of the show, was the hardest toy for Al to find.
My guess is that a Woody in good condition was the hardest to find. Because he was really excited to see that Woody was in One Piece and had his hat. The hat was a big thing. So, like, I think it was probably, you know, like, to find an 80s strawberry shortcake in good condition is probably not the easiest thing. But to find, you know, like, a blueberry buckle or lemon meringue. Is it the lemon one? I don't remember. I had, like, all of them and they all smelled good. But, to find the friends was less hard because, you know, like, you didn't play with it was quite as much because it wasn't strawberry shortcake. So, yeah. All it's right. The same with, like, really popular My Little Ponies. Like, the most popular ones, the ones that were on the show in the 80s are the hardest to find in good condition because those are the ones that were bought the most often and played to death.
Yeah.
Some of them have sunscreen in their manes. Poor little ponies. So, yeah, that's my guess. And the hat. The hat didn't attach. There's no, like, strap or anything.
No,
so,
it, like, does just sit on his
head. I can totally understand, like, I don't know if boys have this problem, but, like, Barbie shoes are the stupidest thing. Nobody has Barbie shoes. They lose them immediately. They've, like, got little strips, little, like, elastic bands on them in the packaging, and then, like, you know, 5 seconds into Christmas, all the Barbie shoes are gone. I had, like, I think maybe 2 full pairs of Barbie shoes by the time I was, like, old enough to be like, where are these? Where did all of these go? I don't know if boys have an equivalent, but Barbie shoes are the thing for girls to lose.
The equivalent for boys are toys that shoot things.
Oh, little missile things.
Yeah, any sort of, like, sort the things darts. That, like, they go in the arm and you, like, push on the elbow and it pssst out and goes right behind the couch or the refrigerator and you're like, nope, that was fun.
I don't remember her name, but she was a doll that had, she was like a crafty doll. She had, like, all sorts of little things that were hidden on her person. So she had, like, stamps in her belt and that sort of thing. And she had little things that shot out of her shoes that were little rolly stamps. Those things were long gone. Yeah.
That was what that
Nerf
was.
Darts. Anything like that. So I think it's mostly a pristine looking, well kept in one piece with a hat would probably be really hard to find, especially because he's, like, half cloth.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, that's definitely gotten ripped up by dogs or something.
Yeah. Or just mothballs, that sort of thing, like, eaten by moss.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't age well. And it also would probably... he mentioned something about the cloth he's made out of. But I think, essentially, like, it can get sun bleached so easily.
No.
So, yeah. My guess is that he had found other woodies, but not in good condition.
But the museum wouldn't take them.
Well, yeah. As a museum, you want the nicest one.
Yeah.
So...
I also like that the show is brought to you by Cowboy Crunchies, which is the only sugar-frosted and dipped in chocolate cereal.
Oh, Cowboy Crunchies. Yep.
And so in one of the magazines, he was like on a Time magazine and like a Newsweek magazine.
He's on a Life magazine.
Life magazine, that was it. And so one of them, I don't know which one, but one of them had a story on it. It was like, doctors say Americans aren't eating enough fat.
Gotta get some more Cowboy Crunchies.
Yep.
That's really funny. So we meet everybody.
Yes.
And then we go back to the other toys. The other toys are going to go rescue Woody.
Mm-hmm.
And they headed to Alice Toy Barn, which yes. takes forever because they're toys.
And they're toys, and it's, you know, old far away.
Yep.
Also, when they were trying to find the commercial, the other channels were all showing, like, Pixar shorts.
Yeah, they were.
Showing, like, Tin Toy and the one with the snowman. And.
So Woody tells the other toys he's going to leave because he's got, you know, a kid.
Andy.
Yeah, and... Jesse about has a heart attack. I had forgotten how, like, bitter and mean Jesse was. Mm-hmm. I remember that she was, like, sad, but I didn't remember her being so mean.
No, I mean, she's she's the MacGuffin bad guy for a little bit there.
That's true. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I didn't really like Jesse in this movie, to be honest. I liked her a little bit at the end, but through most of the movie, she's so angry.
Mm-hmm.
It makes her not very likable.
Well, I mean, she's also, like, been through a lot.
Yeah, no, I mean, that doesn't make her enjoyable.
No, it doesn't.
I understand what the character development is.
It can make her forgivable without being enjoyable.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, but there's like that moment where she's like having a genuine panic attack about having to go back in that box. Yeah, she doesn't
want to go back in the box. I'm not really sure, though, why Woody doesn't immediately be like, why don't you just come with me and leave?
I don't know. I don't know why that...
Because, yeah, that doesn't come up until way later.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why he wouldn't be like... I mean, at the very least, if not giving them a home, just getting out of there anywhere would be better. So...
Well, I mean, I guess it wasn't painted as anywhere would be better, you know?
I guess so.
That was the, you know, Prospector and Jesse's plan. And okay, so not to ruin the whole movie, but like... The Prospector is a really good villain.
He's really good.
Like, it's a really well, evenly paced, constructed villain.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these, you know, kids' movies have the, like, he was the villain all along time kind of thing. And once you're about, like, 12, you're like, that guy's going to be a villain. That's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like...
But since we already had the, like, human villain, and Jesse was starting to be painted as the villain, I didn't even think about the Prospector when I first watched this movie.
No, but honestly, even watching it this time... Like, there are some clues, like, you can see how the Prospector is working without it looking like, you know, oh, there's that villain doing the villain thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it still does not look like, oh, how'd I miss that kind of
thing.
It's
just,
it's very subtle and slowly
super
paced.
Super well constructed.
And just, it's incredibly well done. You know, I just, honestly, it's probably their best developed villain.
Yeah.
And so, because of that, I can see how the Prospector has talked Jesse and Bullseye into, like, this is the best option.
Yeah.
So there's not a anywhere's better than this. This is the best thing.
Bullseye doesn't care. He just wants to be with Woody.
Yeah, I like
He's
Bullseye.
The cutest. So Al rips off Woody's arm at this point, I think.
Yes, accidentally.
Yeah. Accidentally. And he calls to get a guy to come in the next morning.
Yeah, fixed up.
But Woody's trying to leave, so he tries to go get it. Al's got it in his pocket, and he's fallen asleep with Cheetos. You know that terrible infomercial where he's got, like, four bags of Cheetos in a bowl? That's exactly what happens here. He knocks it over.
It totally is that infomercial.
Is that infomercial?
He knocks over the bowl trying to hang up the phone.
Like a little comic that goes with that. It's like, hey, Gene, no, I gotta go. I've got like a whole bunch of Cheetos in this bowl. How many? Like four whole bags of Cheetos. And he hangs it up and I'm like,
oh, no.
But he has to go get his arm, and he's going through this, like, Cheeto minefield. I love the Cheetos. There's Cheetos in his office later, too. Yes. He clearly has a Cheeto problem. Yes.
Well, here's the thing. Like, so, I also had the Toy Story 2 video game for N64. And you only play as Buzz in that game.
What?
You're rescuing Woody the whole time.
No.
But there's no Cheeto level. And I'm like looking at it like,
that's for you play. Honestly, for like an N64 technology, that's probably for the best. That would not be fun after a while. The amount of times you have to do it would not be fun.
Trying to like jump the...
yep. No. That sort of thing sometimes still doesn't work well, depending on how much money they put into tie-in games. Mm-hmm.
So TV mysteriously comes on, waking Al up. The remote is mysteriously in front of Jesse's case. So her and Woody get in a fight, and the prospector breaks it up.
Yep.
And so basically saying, you can't do anything yet. You might as well wait till tomorrow when you get an arm.
Yeah, when you can function. The guys are crossing the road.
Yes.
The traffic cones. I love this. I totally forgotten about this thing because I'm only going to once. And I totally forgotten that they're like sneaking traffic cones and cause this awful accident. It's really funny.
That is two fairly big traffic disasters in two Toy Story movies.
It's true.
And they definitely up the ante on this one.
Can't make a Toy Story movie without terrible traffic accidents. Next morning, the cleaner comes.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually my favorite part of this movie. That sounds very strange, but there's something about the way this is animated and everything is very meticulous, and the score to it is all really nice.
I really like this.
It's like
part.
It's really satisfying to watch, I think, is the thing.
Well, it is. It's seeing this guy put like great care,
yeah,
into this tiny little thing, yeah, you know, and part of it, like as a kid, I took very good care of my toys.
And some of my toys got good care. Some of them got sunscreen in their mane.
Some of my toys also got well loved. But like, no, I did. I took good care of my toys and tried to keep them in very good condition.
I mean, I think part of this is also, it's just really satisfying to see people make things. Like, that's why How It's Made is so good. Because like, you can watch a frame and be like, this is fascinating. You know, like, that sort of process in making something is, for some reason, really satisfying to watch, like, you know, just in general. So, like, yeah, watching it animated is somehow really satisfying, too. And, like, all the little noises and stuff are also really well done.
Yeah.
Good job, Foley artists, for this movie. Something about the way the, like, airbrush sounds and that sort of thing is all really, like, nicely done.
The toy fixer was also from the Bugs Life short. The
chess.
Yes, the chess,
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
So that was a cool little tip of the hat.
Mm-hmm.
The toys make it to the toy barn.
My favorite part about this scene is that there are game guides. We don't have those anymore.
Not really. Not like we did.
I mean, they make, you know, nice books for, like, you know, larger franchises.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of, like, the nice Zelda books around the house, but those are, like, this was concept art. Those are, like, backstory and thought process and concept and all that sort of thing, not, like, here's how you beat the boss, because you can't find that in a walkthrough in 5 seconds on GameFAQs.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, we have a huge collection somewhere of, like, old GamePros and old Nintendo Powers and those books,
yeah,
that taught you how to beat the game, because they didn't
well,
have
no, yeah, like, I, you can go to any, like, used bookstore.
And find a million.
And just see, like, the row of,
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
So, also on that little game cheat book.
Mm-hmm.
It was like US price $4.95 and $50 for Canada price.
Poor Canadians can never beat Zerg.
I'm just like, that's somebody to get there. And there's also at Toy Story Mania, they have like a giant replica of,
yeah,
that book, and it has the $50 Canada price
that's
on it.
That's really funny. I love Toy Story Mania. So, it's like my favorite ride.
I know it is.
So they go down a bunch of different aisles.
Yes.
Buzz finds all the other Buzzes.
That's a lot of Buzzes.
Yeah. He gets attacked by another Buzz. Because that Buzz still has the mentality that, you know, like, he's fighting Zerg and whatever, and this guy's an imposter and should be in cryo sleep.
So they do a good little, like, moment where, like, they do, they recreate, like, the pan-up moment for, famously from the first one, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But I don't understand if this Buzz can see all of the other Buzzes that are clearly Buzzes and not other Space Rangers, but Space Rangers with a face of Buzz.
Well, I assume that Space Rangers looks like other military organizations where, like, you know, they make people cut their hair really short and everything, so maybe he just thinks that, like, I don't know, maybe look kind of the same because they don't have hair. Or maybe, it's like they're all clones in the show.
I mean, I've seen the show, they're not.
That's disappointing.
Buzz's partner was blue.
Yeah, he was. I don't know.
And then his new partner was blue and giant and red and a robot.
And a robot. Well, I don't know. I mean, you can clearly see all the other guys, but maybe it's far enough away that you can't tell what they're Buzz.
It's like a fuzzy plastic. He's like, they look different.
Yeah, it's fine. Maybe he's really nearsighted.
But he wasn't, like, appropriately freaked out that this other, like, identical him.
That's true. I don't know. It is a little weird.
A little later on when Barbie's driving around and giving the tour of the toy barn, she talks about in 1995 when short-sighted retailers did not
buy enough Buzz Lightyears.
Which is really funny because, A, the original Toy Story came out in 1995.
Yeah.
And a lot of, actually in real life, a lot of places did not buy enough Toy Story toys because they didn't think it was going to be a flop. Yeah. And like we said in the other Toy Story podcast, Mattel wouldn't let Barbie be in it because they thought it was going to be a flop, and then they made Barbie say the thing about people being short-sighted because they thought it was going to be a flop.
It's nice. It's a nice little jam. So, yes. I love Turbo Barbie. I love all the Barbies. I like that they included the full like skin tone range of Barbies, because I had a full skin tone range of Barbies as a kid. Yeah. And they're having like a pool party, because that's what you do with your Barbies. I totally had a pool for my Barbies. And yeah. She, like, shows them around the toy store. She's a pretty reckless driver, all things considered.
She's better than Potato Head was.
Or Ham.
Ham was an okay driver.
He was. But then Potato Head was like, let somebody with five fingers drive. And then he was terrible.
And then he wrecks into everything.
But they do knock over a whole bunch of bouncy balls, and it just made me feel really bad for the retail workers at Al's Toy Barn.
Well, these guys wrecked utter havoc on this toy barn. They've knocked over lots of stuff in multiple aisles.
Especially the bouncy balls
are true. And Buzz knocks over that whole stack of things later on to get away.
Yes, but those are at least big things. Picking up bouncy balls is a pain.
They find Al's office.
Yeah.
And they're looking for Woody in there, and Al comes in. Oh, because he's taking photographs of Woody. So at some point in there, there was a photo shoot sequence of Woody, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, that's true.
And so he's on the phone with Japan.
But they ask the Rock'em Sock'em Robots. That's my favorite part.
They do ask the Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
I believe that he's actually like, you talking to me? Like, so silly. I love them.
And so can you pronounce this right here in Japanese?
What I have written? Itashimashite.
Okay, so that means you're welcome.
Basically, yeah.
In Japanese. Which is why Al says, don't touch my mustache, into the phone.
I was talking about that. I heard that line, and I was like, what is he trying to say?
That's what he's saying.
Don't touch my mustache. That's nice. I mean, it's not the worst approximation.
Apparently that's like an actual possible English thing to be able to say.
Yeah.
To, like, get your point across.
There was totally... Oh, okay, so I watched a really stupid idol anime called Aikatsu. And one of the girls goes to America to train to be an idol, because that's where you do things.
She ended up,
doing all the most ridiculous American things, like going surfing and all that stuff. She ate like five hamburgers in the montage. But she actually does that backwards. She says like a weird Japanese phrase that sounds like English. I don't remember what it was. It might have been like no problem or you're welcome or something like that. It was something that had like a really similar connotation, which is really funny.
Yeah.
Apparently it works both ways.
It does. So.
Then we get the worst scene in all of the world.
Okay, so here's the thing. So I remember watching the scene in the movie theater and just dead.
I will pay someone $50 if you can watch the scene without crying. I swear to God. Please. Just, oh, I'm so sad.
Well, apparently, like, when they put the song in the movie, this is the When She Loved Me part, by the way, you haven't picked up on that. Randy Newman was really concerned that kids would not be able to sit through 3 minutes of a slow song.
It is kind of long.
Which I totally understand, being as when we went through the whole Disney things, every time I was like, and this is the slow song, which is the part I hated.
Oh, I always liked the slow songs.
So I know, but I didn't.
Boys.
And so, but this song just killed me.
Oh, it's so heartbreaking. It's still heartbreaking.
And like,
part of it is, oh, who's the singer?
Sarah McLachlan.
Sarah McLachlan has like the saddest voice mm-hmm. in the history of mankind. So like, I can't watch those ASPCA commercials. Mm. I can't do it. So like, that really helps drive home the sadness. But also just like, the montage is so sad.
It's so sad. And makeup's the worst thing ever. Just like, that's what I got from this as a kid.
That's the only thing I didn't like, is because like, I wear makeup. I love makeup. I have loved makeup for a very long time. Like, as a kid, I had a million bottles of nail polish. No, I still have a million bottles of nail polish. And like, I really love my toys. And I hate that equation of like, makeup means we're grown up and you can't love child things anymore. Like, that's what they did in Narnia. It was like, Susan cares more about lipstick and stockings mm-hmm. than Narnia. Like, why can't I do both? I don't understand. And it's just, it's a symbol of like growing up or whatever, but it feels more like you can't be grown up and love child things. Why?
I remember being very young, maybe 4 or 5. And I was at my cousin's house, and there were two girls, and they were both much older than me. And I think the youngest was in like early high school, the later was in late high school, you know, that kind of thing, you know, but they had to deal with me because, you know, the parents hung out and they have to like deal with the kids. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going there and I'm like, where's your toys? I'm like, I don't have toys. And they didn't have toys, you know, it was like, it's the kind of thing. They didn't have anything to entertain, you know, child me. Yeah. I had like a Nintendo, so, you know, but like, we couldn't play that because video games are bad for you. And like, there was no action figures or stuffed animals or toys things. And I remember like playing with
I am super surprised you met a teenage girl who doesn't own a stuffed animal. Mm-hmm. Like, every teenage girl I knew.
There might have been stuffed animals. But there weren't toys.
Yeah, no.
You know, and I was like.
Board games are action figures.
And that's the thing, is like, I go over to a new person's house, it's a whole new room of toys that are mine, like brand new toys, yeah. Exciting and thrilling. And I went there, and like, I remember like, there was a kind of cool stack of Post-its. And I was like, because it was different colors.
Oh, that's sad.
Just, you know, just,
I do totally remember going to my dad's office. He was like, bring your daughter to work day. And dad didn't have any. I mean, he brought some stuff for me to do, but eventually I got bored and messed with his Post-its. So, really.
That's an office. This is a child's room.
Yeah, that's really surprising to me. I don't know. I still have toys, so like.
I don't know. And that's, here's the thing. Like, all of the Toy Story movies came out at like the exact right time for me / wrong time for me for not being a giant pack rat.
Yeah.
Because like the first one came out right about when I was the age of like, yeah, toys aren't like real things. They're just toys. They're not like have personalities. I'm watching. Nope, toys are all real and they're alive. Keep them forever. And then like, you know, 4 years like, yeah, it's time to start like really looking at these toys and seeing what I'm going to play with and not play with and what needs to be given away. And then this song, I'm like, nope, nothing's ever given away ever. And then it's like, wow, it's really time for college and like, you know, I'm not even going to live in this room anymore. What do? Nope, keeping the toys forever because Toy Story 3.
Get caught in the incinerator somehow, Joel.
No. So, like, every Toy Story movie came like right exact pace of like, I'm never giving anything away ever because I love all of it equal.
I love all of them. Well, like, for me especially, the toys that I was really attached to, the toys that were my favorite, I don't think I'd ever give away.
No.
And also, there's a lot that I always kept like, oh, if I have kids or if I have a niece or nephew and, you know, I'd want to pass them down rather than sell them and get rid of them, especially because I have my grandparents used to buy me like really nice toys as a child. That was what they got me for Christmas, was, you know, like one really nice thing. So I have like a lot of American Girl doll stuff and stuff like that, that like, you know, theoretically I could sell for a lot of money, but like, they're so sentimental to me that, and like, I have my mom's full collection of Ginny dolls, which are, it's exactly like Andy. They were passed down to me from the 50s. Some of them were super delicate, and I loved those as a child, but I can't picture, they're in a box in my closet. I feel bad that they're in the box. Yeah. I'm really sad about the box.
Yeah, no, I know.
But like, I don't know. I've always been really sentimental as far as like, inanimate objects go. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have that, like, one teddy bear. You know, like, a lot of kids have, like, this was with me when I came home from the hospital. Like, I never had that, but I was always really careful and cared a lot about my toys.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, I don't know. That seems really weird to me. I mean, the thing is to me is that I guess Jessie was picked up by the collector from the Goodwill or wherever she went.
Yeah.
But, like, she could have easily been given to another kid, which is fine, so.
Well,
it paints Emily as a bad person, I think, in some ways, which I think is totally incorrect. Because, like, while it is weird that she's giving up her most beloved child toy, she's still, like, trying to give this toy to someone who will love it. It's not like she's, like, she didn't throw her away. She didn't set her on fire.
Here's the thing.
Strap her to a rocket or put her in an incinerator. She put her in a donation box in the hopes that some kid who doesn't have a lot of money could have a toy to love.
Here's the thing. When I first saw this movie in the theaters, the first time seeing it. And I did that thing where, like, I watched it in the theaters, and then it wasn't one that we happened to get on VHS, I didn't see it again for several years until, you know, finally I got it on DVD years later. But when I first saw it in the theater, somehow I did not register that that was a donation truck.
Yeah.
So I did think that she was just leaving her in a box on the side of the road.
Well, it's weird because, like, it's that they go back to the place where they were playing earlier, which I assume is, like, near her house. But she has to drive there, which is a little strange. Like, she's not at a Goodwill. It's not, like, outside of Salvation Army or something. It's just a random truck, which is a little strange. I honestly, because I hadn't only seen it once, and I cried through most of the scene, so I didn't pay attention to half of it, I thought she was just gonna, like, leave her on the swing and walk away. And I was like, this is terrible. Like, oh. It's a joke. Okay. That's a little better.
That's the thing. It's like, as sad and heartbreaking as this song is, it's honestly not that bad for me, because for years I literally thought she left her in a box on the side of the road.
No, I just thought she was abandoning her entirely.
It was like maybe in college, I was sitting there being like, here it comes, here it comes.
I mean,
okay, I understand that.
I would never give up one of my, like, super favorite toys, but, like, you know, if there were toys that I didn't know what to do with and probably weren't worth anything, I would probably just give them to a Goodwill or something like that. I would donate them to somewhere. So, like, I'm like, am I a bad person? Is that what this song is
telling me? The thing. It's like, I totally understand. I spent 10 years of my life thinking that she abandoned her toys on the
just
side
left
of the road.
Them in the rain.
So, it's a sad song, but it was sadder in my life.
It's still really sad, though. It's so upsetting.
Yeah.
So, Woody, after this, decides to stay, because who wouldn't be swayed by the saddest song in the history of mankind?
Yes.
And, let's see.
This is when, he decides to stay, and he's actually kind of excited about it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the toys with the wrong Buzz.
Yeah, Buzz gets all tied up.
Go across the street.
Oh, and Zur gets out.
Yes.
Buzz gets out and then knocks over a bunch of toys, which sets one of the Zurg toys.
Knocks open a Zurg toy.
Which is so funny.
And so they're scaling the elevator.
Yep. The toys managed to get in the car, though, which is really funny. So Al lives across the street from his toy barn and drives across the street to his toy barn. Which is really funny. So they get in the car and they're like, well, and Buzz is like, oh, they're like right there, fine.
I can do that.
there's several elevator antics.
And several second Buzz doesn't realize that he's not Buzz Lightyear.
Yep.
Which I feel like somebody was, like, so disheartened that they wouldn't get to write those jokes for the first one.
Yeah, they still have, like, a backlog of those jokes, and they're like, we can switch them, whatever.
Because they did the same thing in the third one, and it's just in Spanish. Every time they make a movie, like, reset Buzz, we gotta have, thinks he's an actual Space Ranger version of Buzz.
Spanish one's my favorite, though. So funny.
And so they go, and they basically break into Al's apartment.
And they see it's Bullseye and Jesse are tickling Woody.
Yes.
And they see it from afar, blocked by Steph, so they think he's being tortured. which, for someone who is very ticklish, is not that far off. They use Rex's head.
Yes, they bust open.
That one, that joke was in the trailer, I remember. Because every time I see that joke, I'm like, oh. I've seen this joke so many times. Still kind of funny, though.
Still funny, though.
Still kind of funny.
Woody Also, the real Buzz catches up.
Yeah. And they try and steal Woody back.
Yes.
And, you know, that Buzz, the real Buzz is like, you're dumb. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. And then Woody's like, and then he tells them all to leave. So they leave. And then Woody's like, oh, I am dumb. What am I doing?
This is where Woody gets the idea, like, oh, these other toys can come too.
Yeah. Which, like, took him long enough. This is like an hour into the movie. Yeah. Like, we can do something. Like, yeah, you can. Again, Woody, maybe just not so bright.
I like this thread. I think this is accurate. I'm going to go with this.
Like totally a strategic genius, but just kind of dumb everywhere else.
So this is where the prospector is revealed to be the bad guy of the piece.
He pulls off Woody's arm. Or no, rips Woody's arm.
He doesn't do that till the airport.
Oh, was it the airport?
Yeah, but he does, like, he explains, you know, he basically says, like, he's been kind of cast aside, which I totally understand as, like, the not Woody, not Jesse, not Bullseye of the gang, you know. Mm-hmm. That would be if you're not going to get one of the toys, that's going to be it. So, you know, and I totally kind of get that. That's very, again, just such a well-built villain.
Yeah.
Like, he has such a justifiable reason for, like, being angry and wanting what he wants and just, yep. It's so good. And Kelsey Grammer's fantastic in it.
Kelsey Grammer is fantastic, which is really funny because it's such a weird casting.
They're really just like Kevin Spacey, and they're just like two for two on villains right here.
It's true.
But then Al starts taking him to the airport. And
oh, but we get an awesome, like, the fake Buzz and Zurg thing is so funny.
Yeah, that's because Al's in the elevator while they're doing that.
Yeah, they have a fight and, like, straight up Star Wars lines.
Also, this Zurg toy has so many foam balls in it.
So many.
Do you know how much I would love this toy?
I know, right? There's like 20.
Because it should be like three. From? Clearly, this thing can shoot three balls.
Yeah.
And no, it shoots maybe 30.
He's got like them hidden somewhere. I don't know, maybe in his helmet.
It's just amazing, and I want that toy.
And they do that. They do the whole "I am your father" scene, which is funny. Yes. And then, Rex knocks Zurg off the elevator, and Buzz is like, oh, but I wanted you to know my dad.
And so he does.
He gets to know his dad.
He's like, nope, I gotta stay here and catch up with my dad.
They're playing catch, and it's so cute.
And so original Buzz says farewell. It has the Vulcan farewell, because he did that when he said farewell in the first movie.
Yep.
So that's nice. And this is where they subtly sneak the Pizza Planet truck into this movie as well.
They steal the Pizza Planet truck. This whole movie is full of them driving and terrible. It's really awful. There are little green aliens in the Pizza Planet, I was very pleased about that.
And I'm pretty sure that Pizza Planet truck was a manual.
Mm-hmm.
And so they probably drove all the way to that airport in first gear.
First gear, yeah.
Which is incredibly stressful to think about.
Yes, it is.
And totally makes sense why Ham was looking at the thing, like, I don't think they're getting this kind of mileage. Not in first gear, you're not.
I noticed that on the car manual, the car model was called the Gyoza, which is a kind of pot sticker dumpling.
Yes, it is.
So dumb. So the Mr. Potato Head saves the aliens because they fall out the window, and now they worship him like a god.
Yes.
They make it to the airport. They sneak in a pet carrier,
mm-hmm.
which is clever.
And then Slinky barks away at a little girl.
That was really cute.
Which is kind of nice because, like, because Woody talked to Hannah in the first movie. So there clearly is some, like, level of they can hear you as long as they still don't know you're a toy kind of thing that's allowed. But so they go through the luggage thing to try and find Woody, and there's a million luggage things.
They find two that look like it, and the first one is camera equipment, and
Buzz was running around with like a thing stuck to his butt.
He had like a luggage tag stuck to his butt, and it was for Butte, Montana, but it's so on it's his butt.
It is hilarious.
It was hilarious. Buzz finds the right case, and the prospector tries to fight him off.
Yeah.
And he takes Woody's arm off.
Yeah, this is where he
pretty and like threatens to dismantle him, basically, which is a little terrifying because I'm not sure what works when you take it off and what doesn't.
I don't know.
But they use the camera equipment they found to fight him off, which is really funny. And they give the prospector to a little girl. They put it in the front of a little girl's backpack.
Mm-hmm.
You'll love Amy. She's an artist. Barbie's like covered in rainbows and stuff. Although miraculously, Amy the artist has managed to not cut her Barbie's hair, which is like entirely unheard of. You're gonna mess with a doll. Go straight for cutting her hair. Yeah.
So they don't get Jesse out of the crate in time.
Yeah, it really seems kind of lazy, honestly. It seems like they were distracted. Jesse's like, excuse me.
They're like, we did good. Good for... Oh, they're
still. Yeah, like, standing around patting themselves on the back, and they haven't actually managed to save anybody but Woody.
They saved Bullseye.
They did save Bullseye.
They didn't save Jesse, so they run down the ramp, chase down the luggage cart, get onto the plane. The plane starts taking off. They get Jesse out. They're having to... And I'm watching this, I was like... Last time, they had to get from, like, this house to that house.
I know, right? Like, they had to get in the Pizza Planet truck, and that's
This is this whole epic, like, chase down the plane saga going on here. This is intense.
But they finally get off, and everybody's okay.
Yes.
And
they go home, and Andy comes back, and like, oh, new toys, great!
Thanks, Mom, which is so cute. Mom's probably like, you're
well, like, he just yells, thanks, Mom, down the stairs. Yep. And, like, she probably doesn't keep track of his toys.
Probably not.
So, you know, because I'd be like, you know, I would be like, Mom, where's, like, the Casey Jones toy? And what are you talking about? Like, you mean the guy with the face mask?
Yeah, and the hockey stick. And then we see the Al's Toy Barn commercial. It's my favorite part. Just, like, sad Al. And the little aliens are adapted by Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head.
Yes.
And Wheezy gets fixed, and he thinks you've got a friend in
me. It's very sweet.
Yep.
It's very emotional.
Yes.
So.
That was Toy Story 2.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's good.
I mean, it's really good. It's apparently the best movie ever made.
Apparently. I don't know if I liked it.
So.
I don't know. I'm trying to think how I would rank the Toy Story movies. But I haven't seen the third one since I saw it in theaters.
Yeah, like, so I'm going to need to rewatch 3 to really decide. Yeah. But, like, I think, I mean, Toy Story 2 is just, it's so well made. So it's, like, tight and everything just adds to it. And, like, they talked about when they were moving it from basically a you know, direct-to-DVD to a feature. They said they needed, honestly, about 12 minutes worth of footage to, like, you know, to really help that. You know, make the time worth the ticket price, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And this was after they had done a lot of story work already. And, you know, you look at it, I could not tell you which 12 minutes are, like, the padding 12 minutes. There's nothing in there that feels like, you know, excess or padding. And
my only guess is maybe they originally just got Jesse out of the suitcase. That's all I can think of.
Well, like, there's just, it's so tightly put together. It's so efficient. It's very well made storytelling.
Mm-hmm. The animation looks great, especially for the time.
Yeah, it's a wild step up. It's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
So next week I believe we'll be doing Monsters Inc.
Monsters Inc. is the next one. Yeah.
And so
I'm excited. Monsters Inc. is actually my favorite.
Of all of them ever.
No. Wally is my favorite. Of these early ones, Monsters, Inc. was my favorite. When you know, I was first seeing Pixar movies, Monsters, Inc. was definitely my favorite.
I mean, it's a good one, so.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I haven't seen Monsters, Inc. in. I saw it because we saw it in theaters, and then we never saw it again. Because, again, this is not one of the ones that got on VHS. Uh-huh. So, but it was just me, my brother, and my dad. And so, like, years later, it was like, Mom had never seen Monsters, Inc. I'm like, well, watching this right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
I'm excited.
Yeah. But it's good. So, anyway, that's Toy Story 2. Until next time. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody. When she was sad, I was there to dry her tears. And when she was happy, so was I. When she